Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. What comes to mind when you hear the term armed and dangerous? It is a news flash about an escaped convict. Could it be the Husker quarterback? How about a mall security guard, or maybe just me with a golf club in my hand? Danger in the eyes of the beholder. Yet it seems like society nowadays gets bent out of shape when you even mention this topic. Gone are the days of a youngster to pretend to be Billy the Kid, or even watching Elmer Fudd hunt down poor old Bugs Bunny. In this modern day world, we can attribute this to the corrosive effects of political correctness. You suppose there will be a day that we won't even be able to say armed and dangerous? It'd be a stretch to think that'd be the case, but wouldn't you agree it is becoming harder and harder to identify those who fit into this category? I make a point to direct your attention to the most elusive, armed, and dangerous one of all, the one who has been slithering around since the beginning of time. He has been known to prowl about wearing sheep's clothing, the one who will appear as an angel of light. The one you might not have visualized when I first asked you that question about what comes to mind when I say armed and dangerous. The evil one we call Satan. As you are aware, Satan carries with him an array of weapons. He attacks with temptations, fiery darts of doubt and disbelief, discouragement, weariness, earthly pleasures, just to name a few. His army is constantly on the move to pull us away from following the ways of Jesus and draws us into the sins of the world. Satan uses strategies that appeal to our eyes and flesh through words that we speak and corrodes the pride of every believer. Without a doubt, Satan is armed to the gills and relentlessly dangerous. So we find ourselves as Christians constantly fighting in a spiritual battle, daily wading in the trenches of sin. Yes, this battle belongs to the Lord, and therefore, as believers in Christ, we are assured victory. However, before you get too comfortable with that truth, keep in mind we still need to arm ourselves for this battle. Today's scripture readings will help us prepare our hearts and minds to do just that. That's what the Apostle Paul was preparing fellow Christians for in his letter to the Ephesians. The church in Ephesus was growing amid a minefield of spiritual battles. In Paul's entire letter to the Ephesians, he used the metaphor, terms, and themes of ancient Roman warfare to address the dangers facing these Christians. They were not just confronting the threat of physical violence or social outcast, but also the assault from the spiritual forces of evil. Paul warns them about the same enemy we face today. Let's look at verse 12 once again in chapter 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Paul warns them and us that the aggressive enemy we must engage in war is sin. Way back, now I'm talking way back, when I was in junior high, I filled the military draft that I would be facing when I turned 18. With a lottery-style draft method, I felt there would be a pretty good chance my number would be called to duty. Now, I have a great respect for those of you who are serving or have served to defend our great nation. But as a boy who heard enough unpleasant rumblings from the Vietnam War, I was not looking forward to that day, which was quickly approaching. Some men, I'm told, went to great lengths to avoid being drafted. At the time, the odds favored having to head off to fight in a war that could not be won. Fortunately, the war and the draft ended when I was in my early teens and didn't have to make any rash decisions. Is this the same mentality in today's world with our battle with sin? Not wanting to fight in a war you don't think you can win? Finding any way possible to avoid this draft so you don't have to fight at all? The Apostle Paul was running into this mentality with the Ephesians. This is the reason he was providing them with the tools necessary for this battle. In Paul's boot camp, he is preparing them to be armed and dangerous so they would be equipped to fight the schemes of the devil. Let me give you some bullet points from the chapters leading up to our epistle lesson today. Paul's marching orders include the following ammunition he used to prepare them for war. Stop telling lies. Don't let your anger control you. Give generously to others. Don't use foul or abusive language. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and forgiving. Stay away from sexual immorality or obscenity. Don't get drunk. Then in military fashion, he goes on to summarize how to put on the full armor of God. The heavenly armor we need to dwell on the front line against the battle of sin. These verses in chapter 6 about the armor that covers us from head to toe are well known. Paul describes what we as Christians need for this spiritual warfare. These include the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of God's word. With these gracious gifts, God has given us the components of spiritual armor which can fend off the attacks of our wicked foe, and with the help of God, empower us to engage a counterattack to Satan's battle plan. But signing up for this war takes an intentional frame of mind. In the world we live, it's too often we sit passively by and proclaim that only God can do this. Well, that wouldn't be wrong, but in these passages, Paul is equipping fellow Christians to do something else, to take the battle to Satan's kingdom of misery. This is where a few more people will go AWOL or find a way to dodge the draft. Who among us would dare to say, "It's not my war"? Turning to the Old Testament lesson in Deuteronomy 4, Moses was preparing the Israelites for this same battle. He says in verse 1, "And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules I am teaching you, and do them that you may live." These are the same rules and statutes we are asked to obey. And the only way we can do them and live is with the armor of God. But in a world where sin is obviously downplayed, will we find the tenacity to stand in line and sign up for this war that is perceived as unwinnable? When Moses enjoins us to keep the commandments of God, do we imagine he is talking to somebody else? If that's my way of thinking and don't want to be drafted for this battle, as a Christian, my words become empty when I proclaim Paul's message found in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Our strength comes from Christ who lives in us. But it is through faith in him and the power of the Holy Spirit where the victory is won. But that doesn't mean the war is over. Looking back to the Old Testament again, God gave the promised land to the children of Israel, and then he essentially said, "Go fight for it." The victory was theirs, and yes, they knew the outcome, yet they had to walk in that victory. They still had to strap on their armor and go to war. And we do too. While we dwell on this earth, until our final eternal victory is won, we must fight fear and battle temptations with God's armor. Like the Israelites, fighting the clutter of sin that keeps filtering back into our hearts. Jesus himself speaks about the sin that dwells within us in the Gospel of Mark 7. The fact that whatever comes out of the heart of a person is what's rendered clean or unclean. Jesus says, "Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile a person, but the things that come within are what defile." In other words, the source of sin is the corruption of the heart. Jesus points out the evils that come from within the heart. These parallel the Apostle Paul's conviction of why we must put on the armor of God. We read from verse 21, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these things we must battle by equipping ourselves to become armed and dangerous against our evil foe. But I tell you once again, even though we are constantly engaged in these daily battles, Jesus has already won the war. That's why we can joyfully sing like we did a few minutes ago, "The battle belongs to the Lord." Because of his cross and open tomb, Jesus dealt the decisive blow to our enemy and broke the power of the devil and his spiritual forces of evil. Now these attacks are simply desperate attempts to undo what never can be undone. Jesus won. That is why the very strength of Paul wants us to experience. The strength of God is only available to us through Jesus. That's why I enjoyed studying these readings today. They point to the reality that you and I are being recruited to become strong in the Lord, with a strong emphasis on keeping our mind tuned into the fact that this strength is not our strength. It is also a strength we do not find naturally on our own. Like I said before, the strength to battle sin is found in Jesus, not us. Through that strength, with Christ who lives in me, not only will I see the filthiness of all my sins, but I will also see Jesus who is there because I have eaten his flesh and because I drink his blood. The constructive weapons of forgiveness, love, and peace. God has in our baptism and through word and sacrament put good and just things inside each and every one of us. First and foremost, his Son and his Spirit, the foundation of our relationship with him through faith. The battle waged against us is determined to weaken this relationship we have with him. Paul encourages building this relationship by praying fervently for each other and for the work of the church. We read in verse 18, "Praying always for all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Praying reminds us of this battle. Reminds us that no weapon fashioned against us will stand. And reminds God that we are fully committed to following him as obedient and faithful soldiers. Our lifeline through spiritual CPR. Giving us new life as we hold fast to the truth. To live in righteousness. To dwell with the gospel of peace. To give thanks for our protection of faith. To rejoice in our promise of salvation. And to cling to the power of God's word. Grace and the full armor of God to combat Satan's attacks. Satan hates it when we put on this heavenly armor to take defensive actions with the good news about Christ's blood and the forgiveness it purchases. He hates to see sinners reconciled to be God and be told, "Satan, you will not win." brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been drafted and engaged in war. But God's promise is that no soldier will be left behind. Our victory is won in Christ, who will provide salvation to all who believe. I'm asking you today to be faithful soldiers, living in love, but firm in conviction, prepared to withstand the onslaught of Satan's devices without delay. Put on the whole armor of God. Take the high ground and declare that you will be forever armed and saved. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.